Hi there, and welcome to a special edition of the StudyClicks podcast. We've teamed up with an expert teacher, Peter Tobin, to bring you a limited podcast series all about Othello, the play by William Shakespeare.
Peter has recorded a series of podcasts for us where he goes into the specific aspects of what you need to know about Othello when you're studying it for the Leaving Cert. He covers everything from characters and different themes in the play to understanding Shakespeare's writing techniques and tips on approaching exam questions.
This episode of the podcast series is another one about the characters in Othello, this time about the minor characters, as well as a segment about the impact of female characters as a whole on the play. First, you'll hear a segment about Amelia, Iago's wife, and the ways of viewing her character. Peter will then go on to talk about the minor characters in the play, and he'll wrap it up by giving his advice on how to answer an exam question on characters.
So, the next voice that you'll hear is Peter's. Enjoy listening.
Amelia is an interesting character in that she's not a main character, but an argument could be made that she is in fact the hero of the whole play. She has some of the most memorable lines, particularly her ones about husbands and wives in Act 4, Scene 3, and she's Desdemona's only ally. She lashes out at Othello at the end of the play in Act 5, Scene 2, and she's willing to confront him when no one else will. She's the only one also who sees her husband's deception and plotting. Now, Amelia is not like Desdemona. Whereas Desdemona is presented as pure, Amelia is ordinary. She is married to a jealous husband. She does her best to keep him happy, but mostly fails. She's wise in that she sees deeply into the relationships between men and women. She's fiercely loyal to Desdemona, and she says that she is beyond any and all accusations, even when Desdemona herself is unsure. A really interesting thing to note about Amelia is that there is some evidence that Shakespeare rewrote her in between drafts in order to make her a more sympathetic character, and in response to feedback from the play's earliest audiences. So she's obviously a character that he has paid really close attention to. And with that in mind, what is he trying to do with her then? What is her dramatic purpose? Well, Amelia speaks when Desdemona cannot. Amelia highlights the tragedy of what is happening to Desdemona, and in a way, she extends it to all women living under the intolerable strains of social expectation and jealous husbands. Amelia refuses to trust in the purity or goodness of marriage because she doesn't see that it can protect women, either from the violence of their husbands or their suspicions and jealousies. So when Desdemona asks if there are women who would cheat on their husbands, Amelia says, absolutely, there are, and she too would do it for all the world because she could then make her husband king and erase the crime itself. Now this is interesting. Amelia doesn't say she would cheat on her husband in order to find a better husband for herself or even to leave the one she has. She's being practical and pragmatic. She says she would do it then to make her husband king. Amelia also represents sexual jealousy, anxiety around female sexuality and double standards. A man cheating on his wife is not as big a deal as a man being cuckolded by his wife, both in Shakespeare's day and possibly even still today. Amelia warns that before men mistreat their wives, that they should know that the option they have for revenge is to cheat. It highlights the level of inequality between the sexes, that is the only power at a woman's disposal if her husband mistreats her. Now, a strong answer to any question on Amelia needs to take into account that she is much more complex than any other supporting character in the play, and probably in any Shakespeare play. Despite her presentation as not being moral or pure as Desdemona, we see that Amelia has real backbone. Her loyalty and her wisdom show her to be one of the most important characters in the play, and this culminates in her attack on Othello at the end of the play. She is really the only character to speak the truth to Othello, to cut through all of the social expectations of rank and class, and hold a mirror up to his behaviour. Maybe this makes her the real hero of the play.
What you just heard was an analysis of Amelia and how her character could possibly be viewed as the play's hero. Next up, you're going to hear Peter talking about the female characters of Othello as a whole. Listening to this will be good preparation for any questions concerning the female characters as a group, as this has been asked before, or even any of those characters individually.
So the three female characters are Desdemona, Amelia, and Bianca. Each of them occupy a very set role in the world of the play. Desdemona is the highest in both class and virtue. She is pure and good, she cannot say bad words, and she's dutiful to her husband, always thinking with his best interest at heart. She cannot imagine being anything other than perfect. Emilia, Desdemona's handmaid, is lower in class than Desdemona, and she is certainly not as virtuous. She openly discusses the idea of cheating wives and talks about the tools and tricks that women have at their disposal to get revenge on husbands who mistreat them. Bianca is the lowest in class of all three. She's a prostitute. We do not hear her opinion on anything of importance, and so she is essentially silent, and she just represents the lowest position that a woman can occupy in society. The female characters show us a really interesting side to life in the world of the play. Take, for example, Bianca. She is looked down upon by most of the characters. Even Emilia, the defender of women, looks down on her. But Cassio uses her services, and he is seen as noble and worthy. So his actions do not reflect on him, while Bianca's actions do. There's an interesting parallel with history here. At the time Shakespeare was writing, Venice was the only place in Europe where prostitution was legal. It was thought that it was safer for women if men had somewhere to go to take care of their urges and desires rather than chasing good and decent women around the city. So Cassio wouldn't have suffered any damage to his reputation by using a prostitute, by going to Bianca. The women in that position, however, bear the brunt of the social condemnation surrounding prostitution. And looking at Desdemona and Emilia's positions, both are married to jealous husbands. But what's their alternative? They have no allies, no one to turn to for support other than each other. If they were to leave their husbands or be divorced from them, they would find themselves in Bianca's position. In many ways, Bianca is actually more free because, despite being looked down upon, she can really do as she pleases with whomever she pleases. So we see that these three women, despite their differences, fit very specific roles and represent all women in a general sense. None of them have a good and happy life. All three of them are entirely dependent upon men, and despite Desdemona's status and wealth, she's really no better off than Bianca, and certainly she's worse off by the end. So showing your awareness of Shakespeare's intention as a dramatist is key to being critically literate, and you can show that in a question like this by discussing the dramatic purpose of these women. Through these three female characters, Shakespeare paints a fairly grim picture of the life of women in the Elizabethan and Jacobean age. If you weren't being told what to do by your father or your husband, you were being used for your body, either for producing children or satisfying men, and you really had no say over who you saw or what you did. Stepping outside of the role that's given to you resulted in, at the very least, social disapproval, and at worst, death for these female characters.
That was a look into the female characters in the play. Next up, Peter is going to talk about some of the minor characters in the play and look in particular at their dramatic function, what Shakespeare wanted them to represent and what he wanted to use them for.
So the first character that we're going to look at is Cassio. While he's an important character, we don't actually find out a huge amount about Cassio, but the small bits of information that we do get allow us to form a fairly clear picture of him. Cassio is a Florentine, and remember, Iago's main objection to Othello choosing Cassio as his lieutenant is that he hasn't got experience of battle, at least in the field, like Iago does. Iago accuses him of being an arithmetician, somebody who's a mathematician, and having learned what he knows of battle from books. Now, this isn't entirely accurate. As someone who would have been raised and educated in Florence, Cassio would actually have been highly prized as both a soldier and as a gentleman. So Iago's remarks here reflect more on his own jealousies than any shortcomings of Cassio, and we can see why Othello would have wanted him to be his lieutenant. It's also indicated to us that he's got a long-established relationship with Othello, and there must be a great deal of shared experience there. So Cassio's nobility, his easy charm, all of these serve to highlight Iago's insecurity and his ugliness, both physically and metaphorically, as well as all this misplaced jealousy. The next character, Brabantio, Desdemona's father, is even less fleshed out. All we know about Brabantio is that he has been betrayed by his daughter as she has married in secret without his permission. This betrayal, though, is important because it raises two questions. If Desdemona has betrayed her father, what's to stop her betraying her husband? And the second, if she was willing to go against her father in that way, what does it say about her character? So Brabantio's dramatic purpose, then, is to symbolise betrayal, and the fact that it happened once, it could happen again. raising suspicions about the otherwise perfect Desdemona. Finally, we've got Rodrigo. Rodrigo is in love with Desdemona, he has money, and he's a fool. It would be tempting to see Rodrigo as just a plot device, simply a way to show how clever Iago is and to advance the plot at certain points in the play. But he also serves a more important purpose. Rodrigo is the counter-argument to those who argue that it's Othello's own fault that he was so taken in and influenced by Iago, that it's his own foolishness that leads him to tragedy. But Iago is able to manipulate a Venetian, Rodrigo, in the exact same way, so he's clearly a skilled manipulator. Each of these characters serves a clear purpose for Shakespeare, and it's important that you can identify and give examples like these if you're writing about any or all of them. In order to show your awareness of genre, that this is a play, you need to be able to discuss Shakespeare's choices as well as a playwright, what he uses these minor characters to do, for example. This is the key to being critically literate, and that's really going to help in securing your H1.
To finish off this episode all about the characters of Othello, Peter's going to talk about how best to answer Leaving Cert questions that can come up on the characters.
Now, the first thing you should do upon reading your question is to inspect it and work out what it is that that question is asking you to do. It's vital that you answer the question asked because lots of marks depend on this in the P or purpose part of the PCLM mark scheme that your examiner will use. So the question could be a statement or a question inviting you to agree or disagree or to discuss. Now, regardless of how it's phrased, you need to narrow down exactly what it is that you're being asked. If it helps, you can rephrase it for yourself to give yourself more focus on what that central aspect of the question is. Again, regardless of what the question asks, equally important is that you respond to the question in the correct way. And we're going to look at three elements that you need to make sure that you include as part of any essay response. So the first one is your understanding of the play as a piece of theatre and characters as serving purposes. Now, this sounds simple. Othello was a play, Shakespeare was a playwright, but it's often forgotten when students actually get into an exam hall. To show your awareness of this when it comes to questions on character, you must make reference to Shakespeare's intentions, what he wanted to use the different characters for. A good way of thinking about this when you're revising is to pick a character and then ask yourself what would happen if they were removed from the play. This will inevitably lead you to see the character as a function of the play as a whole. Take a seemingly minor character like Bianca or Rodrigo, for example. Although they don't have many lines, their characters aren't ever developed, they do serve a function. Being aware of this shows your examiner that you understand the play as a piece of theatre. For all the characters in the play, you should be able to make reference to how they interact with the other characters, what happens when they are on and off stage, how they are presented to the audience, how they behave. What does Shakespeare do when he is introducing the characters on stage? Do they arrive at particular points? Now, the next thing that it is crucial to show evidence of is your critical literacy. To do this in a character question, you must be able to offer alternative interpretations of characters and ones that are sophisticated enough to be different to the ordinary, everyday ones that the examiners will be reading lots of. For example, Iago is not simply evil, Desdemona is not all good and pure, Othello isn't just a noble soldier. Holding these characters up to the light and being critical in your interpretations, being able to offer evidence in support of your opinions, will all help you towards getting those top grades. You should have surface and deeper interpretations for each character in the play, and also be able to support those with reference to the context that Shakespeare is writing in. For example, how we view Desdemona today, in the 21st century, is very different to how she might have been viewed in the 17th century. It's important to be both aware of these differences and be able to point to examples to support your ideas. Again, with the idea of showing your examiner that you know the text and you know the background. And that brings us to our final one. Know the text. Remember that how we interpret characters depends on what they say as well as how they interact with other characters. So it's really important to have a bank of key quotations to use to support your interpretations of the different characters. You don't need to learn the play off by heart, but having a few well-chosen quotes for each character will bring any essay to life.
That concludes this episode of the Othello podcast series on the Study Clicks podcast. Hopefully now you feel confident approaching exam questions about the characters and be able to discuss their traits and dramatic purposes in the play.
Keep listening to this series for more analysis on the play Othello. It'll help you gain a better understanding of the play and will equip you with the knowledge on how to approach a Leaving Cert question based on this play by William Shakespeare.
Thank you for listening so far. And as always, if you want to get in touch to leave any feedback, questions or comments you might have for us, you can contact us by email at info@studyclicks.ie. You can also chat to us directly on the StudyClicks website via the chat box in the bottom right hand corner.
Yes, and as always, don't forget to subscribe to the StudyClicks podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you can stay up to date with our latest episodes. If you want to support us, we'd love it if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a friend about us so we can help as many students as possible.
And don't forget to follow StudyClicks on social media if you're not already. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram and TikTok. We're always posting lots of fun stuff, lots of useful study tips and regular competitions, so it's well worth giving us a follow. And of course, a big thank you to Peter Tobin for working with us on this, for bringing his expert advice on the play Othello for Leaving Cert students. We hope you stay tuned for more.